car park and had oil on it. There you go.
Man. Thank you. Good morning. I mean, good evening. Good evening. Well done. Oh, nice to see some of you I haven't seen for a while.
Hi.
How are you doing? Just turn to the person next to you and say, you are the best. You are. You're the best. Well done. Thank you very much for turning out. Really appreciate your commitment and your time coming out on these evenings. We want every single one of these evenings to count. We want every single one of these evenings to be an encounter with God, and some way you grasp a different revelation, a deeper revelation of the ministry of Jesus. I can't stand the thought of us having meetings for the sake of meetings. I mean, don't want any of us 61 to be that. You know, if you've sacrificed time and got babysitters, well, most of you look too old to have babysitters, unless you're me. You've just got kids still coming out of your ears. But you know, you've sacrificed time and energy to be here. We want you to meet God and want you to grow and to really learn something and have a deeper revelation of Jesus' ministry. That's what Isaiah 61 is all about. That's what Jesus quoted when he was in that synagogue declaring his sort of manifesto. This is what I've come to do. When John the Baptist questioned, you know, really attacked at his lowest point of his life in prison, questioned, you know, man, have I made a mistake? Have I handed the baton over to the wrong person? John, like most prophets, sees the very end of the world and the coming of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the church and all in one. Do you remember acetates? Who remembers acetates? Come on, where have acetates gone? And if you had an acetate with the end of the world, this is just the same as Daniel and all the prophets did this. If you read prophecy, it's something worth knowing, that they would prophesy seeing all those acetates together in one. And they would have one sentence that is 3 days away and another few sentences that is 30 years away and another few sentences that is 3,000 years away, or the end, whenever the end is. And you've got to know which sentence is hitting which bit. And, you know, we know more than anyone because of the Holy Spirit, because of all the revelation in the New Testament being written. But John the Baptist saw Jesus coming as the Savior of the world and also as the judge of mankind at the end. And he saw the Messiah was coming to save the poor and redeem those waiting for him. But at the same time, he saw him judging and winnowing out evil. And the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and he's going to sort out Herod and every evil tyrant. And so when he's in prison, and Jesus, and he just sees people healing people, healing people, healing people, healing people, feeding people, teaching people, teaching people, teaching people. John begins to wobble because he knows what he's seen, and that isn't fully it. Bless him. Very difficult. If you're alone and down and starving and tortured and have given up your young life for something, it's massive testing time, terrible testing time. And he sends some of his disciples with that awful question. Must have been terrible for John to do this. Having declared to his own disciples, this is the man. Having baptized him, absolutely, no doubt, no doubt. It's easy in the sunshine, isn't it? But in a cell in the dark, night after night, listening to them party upstairs, it was very difficult. God bless John. No wonder Jesus said, wow, no one like him. No one like him, born of women, on that side of the testaments. And he says, are you the one who was to come? And Jesus basically quotes Isaiah 61 again. He says, go back and tell, this is my calling card. This is the authentic Messiah calling card. Go back and tell him what you see and hear. In this big meeting, this big campaign meeting we've just had, you have seen with your own eyes, John's disciples, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, those who can't walk walking, and the poor having good news preached to them. And tell John, blessed is the man who doesn't stumble over me, you know. Encourage him, bless him. And as he's going away, he turns to the crowd and blesses John, doesn't he? And says, you know, what did you go out to see when you went to see John? This man is absolutely awesome. But the least of you are getting in on this. You're further on than him.
Wow.
Kingdom of God. The calling card of Jesus is healing. It's healing and miracles. Without healing and miracles, I think Reinhard Bonnke said, without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is reduced to religion. He's right. Without healing and miracles, actually, the kingdom of God can't advance. It cannot, because actually, a huge part of what we're called to do is to heal the sick and cast out demons, not just to see people make a profession of faith and to get baptized. That is not what Jesus did. He did much more than that. And we must follow in the footsteps of our Savior. We must follow Jesus and be genuine disciples, full-on Jesus followers with our whole utility belt. Amen? Absolutely, with our whole utility belt. That means some renewal for our minds, quite a bit, actually. Our minds concerning health, healing, need to be transformed and become biblical. That is some transforming, I tell you, because of how we've been brought up. Without even knowing it, many of us have, all of us can have a very religious view of sickness that is not in the Bible, can honor and revere it when God hates it. Or we can have a totally worldly view of medicine and healing, be thoroughly versed in death and illness, and in full faith for pain, without even realizing it. You don't realize it. And you still come to church and talk the talk. Do you believe in healing? Oh, yes. You have about a 0.0, well, I can't do maths, but you have a very small actual faith. Because your mind hasn't been renewed enough. And mine, it's a huge lifelong journey, I tell you it is. We were in school yesterday, me and Margaret, in the primary school where Margaret works. They asked us to go in and say, they asked Margaret to go in, and Margaret forced me to go in, and because they wanted to find out about the Philippines. I said, you know what, love, I seriously haven't got the time. And she gave me that look. And I said, I'll just get my coat. And I'll do 10 minutes, that's absolutely it. And she said, just tell them some story. You know, in my trips, I went to the southern part of the Philippines, which is all war zone, you know. So it's all grenade stories and guns and bombs and shooting and death, which young kids just love, don't they, young lads? So Margaret was telling them all the nice bit about Ruth and Andrew in the Philippines, and I had a load of PowerPoint photos of soldiers and grenades, and all the lads suddenly woke up, but yeah! I was telling them about some of our trips down there. And one of the things you said to them about the Philippines was this. I thought I'd shake them up a bit, you know, give them a bit of real culture shock. And so we showed them a screen of people buying this cream that they all buy in the Philippines, that you rub it on your skin and it makes you whiter. Because everyone who's dark wants to be whiter. Isn't that a culture shock for us? Yeah. And the kids were like looking, no. Oh, yeah. In the Philippines, the whiter, the better. Just like for us, the browner, the better. And also, in very poor countries, the fatter, the better. If you're fat, you are super cool and sexy. And if you're skinny, you are not very attractive. Do you know that? Did you know that? That's a fact. Me and John Archer went to the Philippines. We were the hottest thing that ever hit Mindanao. We had every woman round us, seriously, like bees round the honeypot. We were like, why? Why? They said, because you're pleasantly plump. Huh? You talking about? And you're white. And you're a little bit old. We like all that. We were like, huh? In England, man, we're geeks. We're losers because we're fat, we're bald, we're old. What's different? Our heads. So different. People take medicine in the Philippines to become whiter. Medicine. Do you know why? Because none of us are satisfied with ourselves. All the world over. But you don't even think about that. Because you're so brought up and shaped by this culture that for you, skinny is sexy and nice. It's just a fact. It's a fact you're reared with. So you are living on a diet and you are convinced of this image of what is attractive and nice and good. And the right shade of brown, you've got to be the right shade of brown. You've got to get into that sun, or that sunbed. And bah, you're looking well. In whose book? In whose book? Actually, our cultural head book. That's all. It's exactly the same with healing. And any renewal of the mind, there is a culture to do with sickness and disease that you were brought up in that is totally wrong, that is not biblical. And slowly the Holy Spirit helps us undo this wrong thinking and see it from God's perspective. In the garden, brothers and sisters, there was no sickness or disease. That was the beginning of our human journey. That's how God created us. No sickness, no disease. I was thinking just the day driving the car, I thought, because there was a song on, this guy was singing, in the garden, they were naked and unashamed. I thought, they were naked? That's really weird. See, that's my own head. That's my own fallen head. I mean, weren't they uncomfortable? Wasn't there any spiky bits of grass that they sat on? Yeah, any nettles? And actually, you know what the answer is? No. There wasn't any spiky bits of grass. There wasn't any nettles. And even if there was some spiky bits of grass, there was something in their physiology that didn't register pain. There's no pain. Can you walk without shoes on? Yeah, no problem. Can you walk on rocks, Adam? No problem. Why? Because there's no pain. Human beings and pain don't go together. They weren't created to go together. There was no pain, no sickness, no perfect environment. Didn't they get a bit chilly? If I'm nude outside, you know, which often happens when I walk around nude outside, I get a bit of a chill at my age. And do you know what I mean? And I get a bit of a chill and I get ill. Oh, but no, they didn't get chills. It might have been a bit windy, I don't know. But if it was, no problem. There is no virus. There is no infection. There's no sickness. Wow. That is our origin. That's how God created us. Now just fast forward. Hit the fast forward button. Here we are again in the resurrection morning with Jesus. This is, get excited because you're actually going here. You're going to wake up in this garden, the big garden, Jesus' private walled garden around the New Jerusalem. We're all going to be there. And I don't know whether we're going to be naked or not, but I'll tell you, A, we won't be ashamed of it if we are, and B, we won't be ill or chilly or cold or uncomfortable on spiky grass. There will be, the Bible is very clear, where you're headed is where you've been before in terms of humanity. There is no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sickness. In between, we have to live here, but we have to overcome it. It's God's will that we walk like Jesus walked, which is overcoming it. You know what? I know this can be seen as something of an extreme view, but I'm trying to tip the balance in our heads a bit. Of course, you know, I don't even want to say it yet. So should I? Nah, let's do it, cover it. I might just touch it a tiny bit. Do you know what? Here's the truth. You can't find a single scripture. Anyone here following Jesus? You can't find a single scripture that says Jesus was ill. Ever. One day of his life. Do you know why? Because he wasn't. Because he overcame it through his words, in his prayers, in his head. Or there was sickness and disease all around him, but he never, ever got sick. And when it says that Jesus took our sickness and diseases on himself, it doesn't mean he got ill. He didn't get ill. The only way he could connect to that was through his wounds, through the violence of his sacrificial death. That's how he connected to the pain that we call sickness and disease and took it into himself. The New Testament is very clear about that. Through his wounds, we are healed. Not through his sicknesses. He didn't have any. He had pain, all right, through a violent death. And through those wounds, those lacerations, particularly his flogging, his back, his stripes. In that agony, he connected to humanity's agony of sickness and took it into himself so that through his sacrificial death and resurrection, through his cross, through coming to him, we can be absolutely delivered of every pain. Every pain and every sickness and every disease, from the common cold to the big C, which isn't cancer, is Christ. You can be delivered of anything. Jesus rose people from the dead. He may heal Russell yet. We're waiting for Russell to go through the garden gate. He's taking his time. He might suddenly go to the toilet for a big number two and come out healed, for all we know. Why not? Jesus can do it. Can be buried. We could be doing his funeral, me and Stuart, in a few days' time, and he could knock on the coffin door, door, or whatever it is. We could open it up, and we could have a Jesus funeral. They're the only funerals Jesus attended, incidentally. The ones he rudely interrupted and wrecked. You can still have the food if you want, but there's actually not going to be any burial because Jesus has ruined the event. You won't read about Jesus burying anyone, only raising them. I'm not messing with your heads. I'm just trying to bring you a bit of truth to balance your heads. Our minds need to be renewed regarding sickness and disease. Everything, every sickness and disease and every pain of humanity comes from the fall. All of it. And Jesus came to undo it all. Poverty came from the fall. They had everything that they'd ever want. Do you know what? Bob Keir is walking over here as though he's coming to preach. Is that true? Oh, is he? I thought he got the weeks mixed up and I was going to very happily pass over to him because he knows miles more about healing than me. But anyway, quick, I better finish his sermon before he gets in. No. So anyway, there's just a few big picture things. Is that okay? Okay, do you want to open your Bibles? John chapter 5, and I'll just run through a few more practical things about healing and how we can get better at it. How we can be like Jesus, who saw, you know, I was just talking about the fall, wasn't I? You know, all those things came from the fall. Jesus hates poverty, but loves poor people. Jesus hates sickness, but loves the sick. It's a very big difference. If you confuse the two, you're in trouble. Jesus hates demons, but loves the demonized. Jesus hates death, but loves the dead. That's just the fact of it. All of those things came from the fall. Don't deify any of them. Don't worship death, fear it, or deify it. Don't worship poverty and give it a religious label. I've said many times, if you're from a really poor country, they'd put you straight on it. There's no African or Indian that would glamorize real poverty. Poverty is a curse. The ground growing thistles and thorns is part of the curse. Non-productivity, sweating for your living is part of the curse, not the blessing. Isn't that right, Bob? Anyway, Roberto! Did you get that thing about the minibuses and all that? Is Paul gonna? Cool. Are you staying for this? Really? You could get saved. It's awesome. But so let's have a look at the Bible, seeing as Bob's walked in. I'm only kidding. We were looking at the Bible anyway, Bob. John chapter 5. Famous healing of Jesus at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, one who had been there, one who had been an invalid for 30, one was there, sorry, who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, this is where it gets almost comical, the difference between religion and Christianity, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Talk about swallowing a camel and straining out a gnat. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him. It's interesting. Religion is so blind, isn't it? They don't ask him, "Well, you got well. Who made you well?" They're not interested in that. "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk on the Sabbath?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. That's very interesting, isn't it? No ego in Jesus. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, it's a very interesting sentence, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who'd made him well. There is a connection to this is meant to help you just be better at praying for the sick and healing people. There is a connection between desire and healing. It sounds a ridiculous question to a man who'd been lied there for 38 years. Do you want to get well? But, you know, it's when someone's had something for a very long time, there's a whole lifestyle that goes with it, including benefits, help from relatives, help from others. Their whole life is built around their illness. It is a shocking and frightening thing for them to be healed instantly, but they can be. They can be if they want to be. If they want to be. And actually, in this instance, it's not clear he truly did want to be, but Jesus, it was as if Jesus just, in a frustrated sense, just said, "Oh, get up. Get up, man. Take," because he was a Geordie, "get up, man. Take your mat and walk. Just get on with your life. Get out of this rut that's in your head and your spirit, this infirmity." And he got up. Absolute, fantastic miracle. Shocking miracle. Got up. And he was healed. You know what? Often in churches, we've given words of knowledge. People have come forward. And you can see sometimes in their face, there is not even a desire to be healed. The word of knowledge is accurate. They've responded to it. "Oh, it's definitely me. I've got the thing on my left-hand side." And they sort of swagger up. "Well," and this is a very common thing you'll see when you pray for the sick. People say, "Well, I've had it a long time, you know." What exactly are you saying? What, you want to keep it a bit longer? Or, "Well, I've had it a long time, you know, so God can't do this one. If I got it last week, God could have sorted it out. But seeing as I've had it for 20 years, that's a bit big for God." You see, it's all unbelief in the head and lack of desire. People who had a very sharp desire were just healed with Jesus straight away, straight away, straight away. Multitudes, whole thousands of people were healed. All of them, it says, all of them, because they'd gone to Jesus for healing. There isn't anyone ever who goes to Jesus for healing and doesn't receive it. With a sharp desire, desiring to be healed and going for it and refusing to take no for an answer who doesn't get healed. Jesus heals everyone who comes to him. He'll do it. And sometimes you have to be determined, push through the crowd, go against the flow. Sometimes you have to wait 3 days with no food. That crowd waited 3 days fasting. Didn't want to fast, but to be with Jesus, to get that healing, meant they were going to fast. And they got healed. All of them were healed. All of them. And before they got up, were sent home on that occasion, he fed them as well, because he was concerned about them being weak. Not weak through illness. There was no one ill left. Weak through fasting, through lack of food. Interesting. The desire is very, very important. So when you're praying for someone, you want to stir up that desire. You want to have testimonies of people who've been healed so they get hope that they can be healed. You want to tell them stories of people you've seen healed. You want to make those stories sound much bigger than they actually were so that they can. But you want to stir up in them desire to be healed. Jesus heals. You want to. That has to first of all be a strong mindset in you, stronger than their negativity, stronger than their unbelief, if you're going to actually help them, minister to them. You have to overcome that or completely ignore it. You can do either. We have to deal with it. It's a reality. That unbelief in sick people who sort of believe on paper that Jesus heals. Well, I believe it is possible. No, they don't. There's no living, active faith that it'll happen. You have to provide all of that, brothers and sisters, often. You have to have the living, active faith that it will happen. It can happen, and it will happen now. There are stages of it, you know. It'll happen soon, it'll happen one day, or it can happen now. There are different levels and waves of faith, actually. And there's a connection between healing and sickness and sin. There's a connection there, you know. You can overplay that connection as well. So it's not just logic, like this person must have sinned. Generally, it's connected to the fall, all sickness and diseases. So it's connected to being a fallen man. But we know that sometimes sin is very connected to sickness. When there's bitterness and unforgiveness in someone's heart, very often results in being manifest in physical illness, anxiety, arthritis, negative words. Words are very powerful. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. You can speak yourself ill, you can speak yourself well, but we don't naturally human beings aren't positive. Our minds, without the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they don't naturally run positive, your mind. You have to make it run positive. You know that, don't you? If your son stays out late, he's got a date, and he stays out late, where does your mind go? It doesn't naturally go positive, does it? Oh, he's helping her with the maths homework. No doubt they're just witnessing to her mum and dad right now and leading them to the Lord. No. Your mind usually runs down negative, fear-filled, sin, dark tracks. I have to make conscious choices to keep your mind positive. Left to itself, it'll run down. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Through prayer and faith, you give those burdens to the Lord, and you have to stay positive. But there's a connection there to sin. Jesus said to this man who'd been lied there for 38 years, he warned him, see, you're well again. Wow, you're back up to like, you're normal, you're free, you're walking. You've got your life back, buddy. Stop sinning. Wow, what a word of Jesus. Stop sinning or something worse might happen to you. Worse? What's worse than 38 years of being an invalid? Well, hell for sure. But there is worse things that can happen to you. Sin. Giving yourself to sin opens you to the power of the devil to bring all sorts of sicknesses and diseases and unhappiness and misery into your life. We want to make sure that for ourselves that we keep confessing our sins, we're cleansed, we live in the light as much as we can, It's part of being healthy, healthy mind, healthy emotions, healthy heart, is having a clean conscience. The blood of Jesus is there for us, brothers and sisters. There's no excuses. You don't have to live in the dark. You will sin sometimes. You're allowed to sin, but confess it. Go to the cross. If it's significant, if it helps you, share it with another person. Pray for one another, James said, that you may be healed. It's very connected to healing verses, that. If anyone's sick, call for the elders, let them anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith will raise up the sick person. So sin can be connected to illness. Sometimes quite direct, sometimes not as direct as logically, like with the blind guy, where the apostle said, Lord, who sinned? Was it this guy or his parents? And Jesus said, no, you can't go down that route. That's not helpful. It was neither his sin nor his parents' sin. This is an opportunity for the glory of God, this illness, because I'm going to heal him. That's a good way of seeing sickness. This sickness is an opportunity for the glory of God because I'm going to heal him. That's a wonderful way of viewing sickness. That's how Jesus viewed it in that poor blind boy. Wasn't trying to find his sin. Don't go down there, but see it as an opportunity for the glory of God. But that's not to say that there isn't any connection sometimes between sin and sickness. There is. However, there is not a connection between sin and healing. Let me tell you what I mean. For instance, your job as a believer is to heal the sick. Preach the gospel, heal the sick. When you see someone who's sick, offer prayer. Try and stir up faith in them and desire that they can be healed, that Jesus can heal them, that if they reach out to him, he'll heal them, and you're willing to reach out to him for them, to heal them anyway. You see many more people healed if you do this than if you just leave them, say, we'll pray for you. God bless you. Must be terrible. No. I believe Jesus heals. Oh? Well, that's a bit weird. Well, it might be, but can I pray for you now? I believe Jesus can heal you right now. That's a bit weird. Well, it is a bit weird because your mind, mate, is in total unbelief and darkness and you're not related to God. But mine isn't. And I'm standing in the kingdom of God and in the authority of Jesus Christ, and I believe you can be healed. And when God raises up those opportunities for you, and I'm not saying it's every sick person you come across. You could run around town all day praying for people in wheelchairs if you want. But the effective miracles that I've seen in my life have been set up by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, quickened is like an old word, but he brings something alive in you for that situation, and you pray then. But you can offer prayer and faith, and sometimes I've prayed for people when I haven't felt anything, or where I haven't been in a very good place. I haven't been feeling very holy. Sometimes I can feel very holy. Sometimes I can feel very sinful. Let me tell you the difference it has in my healing ministry. None. None. Why? It's not related to me. It's not my power and authority that heals them. It's not my name. I'm not healing them in the name of Martin Ruddick. I heal you in the name of Martin Ruddick, who's doing quite well this week, so you probably will get you healed. Oh, I'll pray for you in the name of Martin Ruddick, who's flat on his back, so don't hope. That's ridiculous. When the man who was sick at the gate begged for some money, the apostles had a quickening of faith. John and Peter said to him, look at us. It was like focused. It's like, look at us. Huh? You going to give me something? Yes, I'm going to give you something. Listen, silver and gold we don't have. But what we have, we give you. Give me your hand. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Phenomenal miracle. Everyone knew him, jumping and leaping and praising God. The disciples walk off like Jesus had taught them. Just walk off. They walk off, but he's following them. Jumping up and down, yeah, these guys, they're awesome. They healed me. You all know me. Look at me. All the people came running. Oh, awesome, holy men, holy men. The apostles knocked that straight on the head. "Why are you looking at us?" they said. "As though by our own power or holiness we've healed this man." It's not our holiness or power. It wasn't the apostles' holiness or power. "You need to know it. It's the name of Jesus," they said. "And faith in his name." Who had faith? They had faith. The apostles had faith in the name of Jesus that that could happen. So it did happen. And they spoke a word in faith, and that word has life and power in it. Words, brothers and sisters, in healing are tremendously powerful and important. You speaking to people, you encouraging people, have a walk. Walk up and down there for me. Stretch that out. Can you take that off? Take it off. Try, you know, speak positive words of life with expectation that something's going to happen and things do happen. The Holy Spirit backs that faith. He loves it. The Holy Spirit's excited. He loves to heal people, wants to heal people when given the opportunity. What time do you finish? 9. Half an hour. I'll keep going for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 25 minutes. An hour and a half. No. So anyway, I just thought there are two interesting connections there between sin and between healing and desire and healing and sin. If you wait till you feel holy enough, you'll never do anything. You trust the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of Jesus, and just do it. Don't give it a second thought. Pray for the sick. Take authority over the sickness. Command it to go. Command the pain to go. Rebuke the devil. Do anything, you know. Have a go. Sometimes, you know, why did Jesus heal people? Jesus healed people because he was told about them when he was in Peter's house. They told him about them. His mother, who was upstairs with a fever, just ill. Just a normal illness, fever. Jesus healed her because he was told about her. You've got to be told. You know, you've got to tell Jesus. Or you've got to tell the elders. You've got to tell someone. She's sick, pray for her. He's sick, pray for her. And then they'll get healed. He healed people because he just heard about them. He heard about this man at the pool. He heard he'd been there for 38 years. I presume there was a lot of disabled people there. Well, it says there was. It doesn't say that Jesus healed them all. It says it healed him. Why? He heard about his particular story. 38 years. Let's go find him. Which one is he? Him? Hey, do you want to be healed? Well, every time I... Get up. Oh, get up. Get your mat. Go. Healed. Because he'd heard about him. Sometimes you get faith because you hear about them. You know, often we're on a mission trip in Spain, me and Bob the other time. We hear about this young mother who's dying of cancer. You hear about them. Someone's willing to take, you know, are you willing to go? You know, you're absolutely shattered. You can't do another meeting. You're desperate to get back to bed. Oh, pastors, will you come and pray for this lady? Where? Just in the next town. Yeah. She's a young mother and she's dying of cancer. Well, that should move your heart. Actually, what are we here for? Yes. Let's go. And you go because you hear about them. You go and you bring the power and authority of Jesus, pray for them. He healed people because he was asked. We need to pray for healing for ourselves. Every day we pray for healing for ourselves. Every day you go to the cross. Every day, thank you, Jesus, that I'm a healthy person. That my God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You bless every cell in my body. Let cancer never touch me. These are the things I often pray for myself daily, actually. Lord, bless me, keep me strong and healthy. You know, thank you that you took all of my sickness and diseases into your own body on the cross. Often it's preventative, you know. Prayer is just asking, it's preventative. It's not getting dug out of some big illness all the time. It's never getting down there. Through daily standing in the presence, the radiance of God's presence, praying. That's the best radiation treatment. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, it says. Stand in the radiance of his presence. Well, we worship God before we do anything. It's not like a little stick on the beginning of a meeting. Oh, we'll have a couple of songs. Thanks, Darren. That was absolutely anointed, that. Anointed. Beautiful time of being in the presence of God. We minister to the Lord first before he speaks to us, ministers to us. We give him praise. We give him thanks. We worship him because that's what we created to do. It's absolutely number one priority in our lives. As we do that, we're in his presence. Do you think that makes you well? Absolutely. Do you think that keeps you healthy, happy, forgiven? Yes. Standing in the presence of God and then asking specifically on a daily basis for health, strength, thanking him for that, asking for a long life that you live out all your days. You won't die early, but you'll die on the right day when the Lord wants to take you. And it's just important. He healed people just because he was asked. He healed people because he was begged, really begged. Sometimes we need to get to the begging point. We need to get to the begging point. Begging. Sometimes we don't ask. You know, we don't ask because we... I was reading about Yongyi Chow when I was doing this Abraham series. You might have heard of him. It was an interesting story about him. He was wounded in the Korean War, Yongyi Chow, when he was a young soldier. And he had a wound in his stomach, and they did surgery. He was in surgery for 8 hours. And he was cured and came out of it and lived, obviously, a long life. But he had pain in his stomach when he ate raw fish. So he didn't eat raw fish. Easy answer. Koreans love raw fish. Yongyi Chow loves raw fish. Sometimes he was tempted to eat some raw fish, but he'd be up all night in agony through the stomach wound, scar tissue in his stomach. When he'd been in ministry for 40 years, he was doing some meeting in Hungary. Some big meetings in Hungary. When he was in the hotel, he was praying one afternoon. He had an hour between sessions. So he just lied on his bed praying, and the Holy Spirit said to him, "Why have you never asked me to heal your stomach?" And he said, "Well, Lord, you know, I've managed to live with it, and, you know, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh that kept him humble. And this is my thorn in the flesh, Lord. Keeps me humble." This is his own story. And the Holy Spirit said to him, "Oh, you're as great as the Apostle Paul, are you?" "Well, no, Lord, I'm not." He said, "Listen, why did the Apostle Paul need to stay humble?" "Well, because of his great revelations, Lord." "So you've had as many revelations as him then?" "No." And he went to the third heaven, Lord, and saw things he couldn't speak about. "Have you been to the third heaven?" "No." "So why do you think you need to stay humbled by this sickness?" And Yongyi Chow saw he'd been hoodwinked by the devil for 40 years. And he'd had many a sleepless night in pain after he'd ate some raw fish. And he thought, "I can't believe it. I've had this little religious thing keeping this sickness in me." And he said, "Right, Lord, I'm going to pray that you heal me." So he still lied on his bed, put his hand on his tummy, and he said, "Holy Spirit, heal me. Heal me. Heal me. Heal me." Just kept saying it. He looked at the clock, opened his eye, half an hour. "Heal me. Heal me. Heal me." Opened his eye. He just went over an hour. See, we're talking about begging here. I'm not sure I'd last 10 minutes with you, in truth. I'm so lazy. I think I'd rather just be in pain. Oh, I'll just keep it, Lord. I'll watch some telly instead. It's frightening, isn't it, actually? Frightening. And heal me. Heal me. Gets over an hour. He just looked, it was just over an hour, and he felt wonderful peace come over him. Just peace. He thought, oh, I think I'm healed. I'll leave it then. He was flying back to Korea the next day. When he landed in the airport, he went straight in a restaurant and ordered some raw fish. Just a little bit. He ate it, and then he had terrible fear. And he said he was waiting up all night for the pain. He said, I couldn't sleep all night because I was waiting for the pain, and it never came. No pain. 40 years he'd had it. The next day, he took his whole family out to a Japanese restaurant. They had every type of raw fish. It makes me feel sick, but they love it. And he had every type of raw fish in the whole restaurant. No pain ever again. Completely healed. For 40 years, he had that illness. Why? Because he'd never asked. We can have all sorts of religious views of sickness. But actually, it can all be healed. We can be healed, and we can heal others. We can encourage them to be healed. Shall I keep going or shall I leave it? Three little things. Healing is simple. It's just simple. Just do it. Just pray for people. And don't get too complicated. Don't worry about the theology of it all. The theology of why people aren't healed and all the rest. We know sometimes people aren't healed. We know even the people that Jesus did heal. They're dead today. You're going to die again of something. Don't worry about it. Just do what Jesus did, which is pray for the sick. Do what Jesus did, command pain to leave. Do what Jesus did. If people are struggling, get them a long life. The aim is to get them a long life and a pain-free life. You know, Bob prayed for this woman in Paris, very old lady in a lot of pain. I think she's in the mid-80s or something. And you know, what are you going to pray for a lady in the mid-80s? Well, he prayed that no pain would come into her body until she went to the Lord. She lived a number of years after that without any pain and died without any pain. And when Bob went back and visited that church, she left a message for him from a deathbed saying, just let Bob know, no pain. No pain. I've gone to glory, but I haven't had any pain. You can pray pain out. You can pray that God gives people a long life, pain-free. And that's what we should pray. Keep it simple. Remember, it's a sign of the kingdom of God. It's not a be-all and end-all. We don't just do healing on the streets. We preach the gospel. Healing is connected to the gospel. It's a sign and a wonder. Otherwise, it's disconnected. You know, we're not just God's health agents. Go into all the world and heal the sick. He didn't actually say that. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make them disciples, baptize them, teach them everything, including healing the sick and how to live healthy. And, you know, so it's connected to the gospel. It's a sign. Take steps of faith. Encourage people to take steps of faith, whatever that means for them. And, you know, you've got to let them do their own faith. Some people throw away pills and things. You can't really encourage people to do that. But if they do it, that's up to them. It don't knock it, you know. Many people have been healed through taking real big steps of faith. Remember that it's often, you know, something that's just spiritual. It's just a spirit. It's sometimes just Satan, a spirit of infirmity. And that, and they're the, in one sense, they're the easiest because they can be just driven out with a prayer. And people have had pain for many years. Sometimes it's just a spiritual... It's just something demonic, you know. I often tell a story of Val's sister. You know, Val Boyer's sister in Cliff Henderson's church. We were there one day, me and Paul, preaching. And at the end, she came with back pain. And I said, how long have you had the pain? And she said, 20 years. So how did you get it? She said, well, I've been a nurse for 20 years, always lifting people, always carrying people. So let's pray for you. And I put my hand on her, closed my eyes. As soon as I closed my eyes, I saw this picture of a snake down her spine with like a handle on the end, like a sword almost. Now, that is the strangest thing. So without saying anything to her, I took my hand off her head and pretended I grabbed this, the handle of the snake. Doesn't make much sense logically. And I pulled it out like that without saying anything. And as it came out, like wiggled. And I just opened my eyes as I did that, and to see her body do exactly the same. Like wiggled like that. She went, oh! I said, what's happened? She said, the pain's gone. The pain's gone. It's completely gone. I said, how long have you had it? 20 years. How did you start getting it? She said, well, when I was a young nurse, I was so filled with compassion for all these people. I used to wish that their pain would just come into me. You've got to be very careful what you wish for. And that opened the door for something spiritual. It was a spirit of infirmity down her back. She'd been in pain for 20 years. Then you start to attribute it to all the natural things. I'm a nurse. I lift a lot of people. She was instantly healed. She had no pain since. 20 years, gone, moment. It was a spirit. Opened, the door opened through her being humanly compassionate and taking their pain into herself, which and the devil will say, oh, thanks, I'll have that. Oh, you want pain? I'll give you pain. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's so much we could say, but that'll do. You don't have to clap, Bob. You're all right.
Jeez, man. Who wants to be healed? Not who's got faith to be healed. Who wants to be healed? Do you want to come and come forward then? Form an orderly line. Can we do the healing first? So just this, yeah, face them because they're going to heal you. Come to up to over to the stage here. Sorry, come on in. Yes, if you stand with your back to the stage, yes, so you're facing. But yep. Yeah. Okay. So who's going to come and pray for them? Somebody to come and pray for each person. Come on. Come and pray for them. Ask them what they want prayer for. And just before you do this, when you tell the person what's wrong with you, when you're going to tell the person what you want healing for, they're not medical doctors, so they don't need a big, long explanation. Just tell them what you want healing. Don't tell them how you got it. Okay, so just tell them what you want healing for and then pray for them, okay? So you can do that now. Can I encourage you to come out as well and come and lay your hands on these people? Mary, do you want some prayer? Yeah? Zena, Julie, will you go and pray for Mary? Please. Thank you. Just focus on praying for healing. Go for healing. Keep speaking into the healing. Be persistent. It doesn't matter if you're repetitive and saying the same thing over and over again, but you're praying for healing. If they're not healed, don't get distracted and go on to something else. Keep praying for the healing. Right, if you've been healed, stick your hand up. Has anyone been healed? Has anyone been healed? Yeah. What? No, hang on. No, have you been definitely been healed? Oh. Yeah, but have you been healed?
Yes.
Oh, you have been healed. What is it? Okay, so we've had someone had some back pain healed. Anybody else? Awesome. Anybody else healed? See in your mind, the healing, and speak what you see. Speak into them what you see. Okay, don't keep praying. Keep praying for healing. Okay, we're not asking things to go. Be commanding pain to go, commanding joints to be straightened, commanding muscles to be strengthened, commanding movement to come. Don't get distracted into conversations. Keep praying persistently that people will be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, anyone healed? Hello. Anyone healed? Or not? Or not? Who's healed? Yeah?
Julia's healed. I just bent over and it's
am that nurse with back pain, or I was that nurse with back pain. And well, I've had it on and off for quite a few years, but I've only had it for about a fortnight lately. But it's totally gone.
Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Okay, and I encourage you to to keep praying for one another about different sicknesses, and go to one another on Sundays and get some prayer from one another. Keep praying. You don't have to wait to come forward for ministry at the end of meetings. We want to be one of those churches where, people are having tea and coffee and there's prayer going on over there and prayer in the car park and prayer everywhere. We don't want to be the sort of church where you leave thinking, no one prayed for me or I never got an opportunity to be ministered to. The nicest thing is to be prayed for, so be persistent. Haritha had some healing from the Lord when Stephen Moses prayed for her at the conference. And she's been, pain going and more energy coming into her body, so it's gradual as well, so praise God for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, guys. Early finish. An early bath. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me just have a final prayer for us all, and then we'll go. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for touching us. We thank you for taking all sickness on the cross for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we access heaven right now. We ask you to touch our bodies, to heal us. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for long life to all of us, for healthy life to all of us, in Jesus' mighty name. And we lift up Russell right now, in Jesus' mighty name. The doctors have been continually wrong about him. They said he wouldn't see Christmas. They said he wouldn't see February. They thought he was going to go the other day. He hasn't yet. Father in heaven, we pray for Russell that he would be totally, miraculously healed. What a testimony that he would say he went into the hospice to die but came out to preach the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask you to touch him right now. Remove all pain from Russell's body right now in Jesus' mighty name, and touch him and heal him. What Martin was saying, we just felt often that, Russell would go to the toilet and just pass out a load of, cancer and illness out of his body and begin to recover. So when you're praying for Russell, picture that. Picture him just, let me be honest, just pooing it all out, all this cancer out of his body, kicking the devil out in Jesus' mighty name, and him being healed and start drinking again and eating again and being and recovered in Jesus' mighty name. It's not over. It's not over, is it? He hasn't died yet. He hasn't died. He's still alive, and we should still be praying for him in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.